Welcome to the Silver Screen Podcast. I'm Jared Boomer.
And I'm Katie Gainey. This is a podcast about movies and pop culture.
And today we are continuing our Halloween series, our spooky movie series, with Ghostbusters, another classic movie from 1984 that is watched a lot around this time of year, starring Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd. Lots of people are in this movie, Sigourney Weaver, Harold Ramis. It's a good movie. So we'll be talking about Ghostbusters today. Again, the original, just like on the Halloween episode, we mentioned the original. We got to start with the original. So we're doing Ghostbusters,
yes.
The first one from 1984. Not the second one, not the remake that came out a few years ago with Leslie Jones and Kate McKinnon. I did not see, and Melissa McCarthy didn't see that one. So
not Avatar 4.
No, no.
Not Scream.
Avatar 4. Gee whiz. Who knows if that's ever going to come out. So, welcome to the Silver Screen Podcast, though. This is a podcast. We talk about movies. We talk about pop culture stuff, as Katie mentioned. And Katie, how are you today?
I'm great. I am still laughing because when you and I were texting earlier today, you said last week we were like, oh my gosh, there's no news. There's nothing to talk
yeah,
about.
Yeah, if you listen to last week's episode, we were.
Did we jinx the country?
I think we did.
Was that us?
I think we did, because a little spoiler, like that episode came out on October 6th and we recorded that on September 30th.
Yes.
The 2 days after that, Trump got COVID. The next day, Hope Hicks had COVID. And then Friday morning, we all learned that Trump had COVID. And then it was a wild weekend. So
can I also tell you something funny that happened at work? Just please don't judge me, because this was just, so I always do a word of the day at our work like keep people up on vocabulary. I'm always reading, so I'll find a word that I don't know, whatever. Mm-hmm. People really like it. There's only a couple people that look at it every day, but I appreciate those people.
The whole office loves it. Three people look at the board, but...
Yeah. So last week, we had a morning meeting virtually, and the news has announced that he has COVID. No comment from me, just so you know. I won't make this anything, but someone mentions the term Schadenfreude or Schadenfreude. You know, I can't say it in the German, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say that without sounding like an idiot. Anyway, I truly looked that up because I did not remember what that term meant. I'd heard it plenty of times, whatever. I look it up. So then this week, one of the first headlines on Monday, yesterday, was that Merriam-Webster, which is the site that I use to do all my definitions.
Yes.
They had a 30,000% increase that day for that specific word. So I don't know what that tells you. I am not saying, again, no comment, but I just want to let you know, for those of you listening, the term means, it is German, it's a noun, it means pleasure derived by someone from another person's misfortune. So without making this political, I just want to let you know that I was one of the 30,000%
that
looked
that
word up, but I did because I was looking up for a word of the day and someone mentioned it and I didn't know the word.
So there you go. So yeah. You learned a new word, and
we jinxed, you know, America.
Yes, we did. So we're sorry.
Sorry,
this
everyone.
Week is a very busy news week. So maybe after we record this, nothing will happen for the next few days. We'll see.
Let's hope.
Who knows?
Let's hope.
Or we could say.
But also, we did have movie news.
Yes, we did have movie news. So we also said something else on last week's episode. I couldn't remember what it was, but it was also condescending because the opposite thing happened like a few days later as well.
Oh, no, so
I don't know what it was. I can't remember,
but
it was something else. So,
oh, crud.
If you listen to the episode and you're like, that didn't turn out that way, then let us know. So yes, we have some movie news. Some more movies were pushed back, got their release dates pushed back again. No Time to Die pushed back again from earlier this year, I think April or May, to November. And now it's been pushed back to April of 2021. So it will be coming out in April of 2021. Also, it took over the new release date for Fast and Furious 9. So Fast and Furious 9 got pushed back to May of 2021, Memorial Day weekend. So the end
of
May.
That's better. That's a summer blockbuster movie. That's a better time for it anyway.
Just kick off the summer. I mean, Memorial Day is kind of like the unofficial kickoff of summer. What better way to do it than with
F9? It's the pool party of the year.
Yeah. With the bros from Fast and Furious series. Also, Dune was pushed back, so we're very sad for our boy Timothy Chalamet. His movie's not going to come out this year. I know he's probably grieving in his, you know, apartment wherever he lives, but that's coming out October.
Yeah, he lives in an apartment. I feel like he's upgraded, but I put, for our notes today, I put RIP 2020 movies, and also If I may share, I feel a little bad, but I was slightly relieved. As much as I love James Bond, I think we all know, I have not made headway on watching the movies lately, and I still haven't started Dune, the book. And I was like, oh, thank God I have some time. So honestly, for me, this was a good news week as far as movies go, because it gives me more time. But Jared, I want to say this on the record. It's October 6th. I have a sneaking suspicion they will cancel the Oscars. I could be wrong, but what in the world are they going to be able to vote on? When are they going to vote? How are they going to vote? And there's not even going to be many movies to vote on. It's going to seem like a silly competition anyway.
Yeah, there's not going to be much stuff coming out. Also, I'm sure since you said that, the time between when we're recording this and when the episode comes out, the Oscars will make a statement saying we have canceled. Yeah.
And I was proud I thought of this too. The Oscars started after 1918. So okay. This would be the first time there's been a pandemic. So there'd be no precedent is what I'm saying for what to do. But I would be shocked if they actually held the ceremony. So I wanted to state that on the record on October 6th.
There we go. So if you're wondering, is there anything big still scheduled to come out this year? Yes. Soul, the new Pixar movie, is still supposed to come out November 20th. And then we have Wonder Woman 1984 set to release on Christmas Day of this year. But let's be honest, those are probably going to move again in a few weeks. Or before you listen to this episode, they will have made that announcement. So that's all of our news for today, though. And we don't have any corrections. And nope. Katie doesn't have any recommendations for today.
I don't. So, I have fallen so behind in my life. It's really sad.
I have two. One is a movie that came out earlier this year, which I just watched for the first time over this past weekend. And it's The Invisible Man with Elizabeth Moss that came out at the beginning of 2020.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah,
a very,
how was it?
It was good. It was a very good thriller type horror movie. Normally, I don't love those, but I thought the writing was very good. Of course, it's based off a book, and the plot was interesting, and kind of how they do the stuff with the Invisible Man was cool for, like, you know, dramatic effect and for jump scares and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good. If you see it somewhere, or if you're like looking for a new movie that you want to watch, fairly new movie, then definitely check that one out, because it was pretty good. So I would recommend that, The Invisible Man with Elizabeth Moss. And then I've been listening recently to a band that I had been knew about already, but just got back into like in the last week or so. And they're called the band Camino. And they're kind of like an alternative indie band. But they have a couple albums out. I saw them last year at a music festival. What a 2019 sentence that is, because nothing like that happened in 2020. But I saw them last year at a music festival and listened to them then, and then kind of have picked them back up in the last week or two. But if you like the 1975, or like just kind of, I don't know, like poppy, rocky music that's just kind of upbeat and kind of fun, then check them out. So I like them though.
Cool.
So the band Camino.
I guess I will say you and I, so we recorded a new ad for Anchor today, and we were talking about ballotready.org, and you and I looked at the website. It's actually a really good website. So if you all are looking for information, I know last week, the last episode we recorded, we talked about voting and how important it was to register to vote and make sure to do it by certain days, because Ohio and Indiana are different this year. But it's got really good information on it. And also, I did time myself. I triple checked that I was registered to vote this week. It took me 30 seconds.
There you go.
So just a plug, please vote November 3rd.
Yes. And you'll hear more about Ballot Ready coming up here in just a few minutes. So if you're listening to this past the election, you probably aren't hearing about it anymore because they probably took the ad off. But if you're listening to this before the election, then yes, we hope you voted, and we hope that you did your research and got all the knowledge that you needed. So
and didn't write in things like T-Rex Brown for president.
You know. Yeah, it's always interesting to look at the write-ins of like what people just wrote in randomly.
Yeah.
It's like not the greatest thing to do, but like they always share the write-ins and you're like, these are very odd. So like,
And it's a waste of
your vote. I assure you somebody will write in Tom Hanks for president on the freaking ballot. So
listen, normally if this wasn't this election, okay, go for it. Please don't do that this time.
Yes, vote for the candidates on the ballot. Also, check the ballot for Indiana. Kanye West is not on there, so unfortunately, not an option for me this year for the presidential election. Don't know if he made the ballot in
Jared,
Ohio, but
he
did not
COVID.
Make the ballot in Indiana. Did he? Oh, wow.
Well, I'm
Didn't
not sure. I saw something today. Maybe he's just sick in general. It said something.
Oh, yeah. He did get COVID. There's articles here saying so, yeah. Kim Kardashian made a statement and said that Kanye did get COVID. So,
yeah.
Okay. He's apparently better now. But yeah, looks like it was kind of scary there for a little while. So best of wishes to Kanye.
Touch and go.
Even though he's kind of an odd little dude sometimes. I mean, I don't wish him badly in health or anything. So glad he recovered,
you
though.
You know, I feel very special this year because they said Ohio is extremely important this year for the election because Ohio is a swing state.
It is.
But Ohio right now is neck and neck, but they're not expecting it to be. But I'm actually really happy to be in this state. I feel very important this year.
Yeah, it's very cool. So again, election coming up on November 3rd. Make sure you vote. BallotReady.org has the info you need. You'll hear more about them in just a minute. So with that, we'll get into our review of Ghostbusters, released on June 8th of 1984. This is a summer movie, rated PG. No reason given by the MPAA. What we've learned from these older movies is the MPAA back in the day just said, this movie's PG. And they didn't really say why. So I think this is a fair PG rating.
I might
get a PG-13 today, but I don't think so. There's some language. That's kind of the only thing. They do like cuss a decent
sexual
amount.
They're like alluding to sexual content.
There's like some sexual innuendo in it. So
yeah,
it might be a PG-13 by today's standards, but not too bad, honestly. An hour and 45 minutes. IMDb is a 7.8 out of 10. And then Rotten Tomatoes critics, 97%. Audience, 88%. So very highly rated. This movie crushed at the box office, $243 million domestically, $296 million worldwide. It made a ton of money. Again, had a decent budget, but not a huge budget. There's reports that Bill Murray, off of this movie alone, made anywhere between $20 and $30 million from how much it made at the box office, just with the way his deal was structured and everything. So it was a big moneymaker for everybody involved. I also read that it was in theaters for quite a while when it came out, like multiple weeks. So, which is just something that really doesn't happen nowadays because it seems like there's so many movies that there's a different movie every weekend that's coming out that's the big movie. Whereas back in the day, there was still a lot of those, but there weren't as many because this was at the same time as an Indiana Jones movie. And something else I read too was big in the theaters when Ghostbusters was out. But Ghostbusters, big crusher at the box office. So if you don't know, the synopsis for this movie is three former parapsychology professors set up shop as a unique ghost removal service. That's what they do. They're like, we're going to go this. The people are getting their stuff haunted and there's ghosts in these houses and we got to go get them. And that's what they plan to do. So some critics' reviews of this movie. First, we have Kate Muir of The Times in the UK says part of the sheer joy of this movie, aside from the comedic timing of Bill Murray, is the cartoonish crapness of its apparitions and their placid acceptance by the Ghostbusters team. Okay,
I couldn't have said it better myself.
I have
a lot to say about that quote.
Let's use master's level English when, you know, a sixth grade writing style would suffice for this particular movie. Next up is Gene Siskel of the Chicago Tribune, who says, on balance, Ghostbusters is a hoot. It's Murray's picture, and in a triumph of mind over matter, he blows away the film's boring special effects with his one-liners. Now, I think the special effects are actually decent for the time that it came out in 1984.
Whoa.
You're gonna disagree with me. Okay.
No, I have more on that later because I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
But I did want to say I liked this quote because I do think, without even meaning to, this picture belonged to Bill Murray. Like Dan Aykroyd's great, Harold Ramis is great, but I definitely thought Bill Murray was like
I forgot
the star of the
Sigourney
show.
Sigourney Weaver was in this movie.
Yeah, and
I forgot
Annie Potts.
Rick Moranis from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids was in this movie. So.
Right.
Yes. So, yeah, that is a good quote, though. And then next up, we have Arthur Knight of The Hollywood Reporter, who says, the plotting may be primitive, but it's all carried off with far more style and finesse than one might expect from the creator of Animal House and Meatballs.
I liked all of these quotes because they encapsulated how I felt about it. Like, overall, this is a spoiler, but people are already listening to the episode. But to me, I thought this movie was delightful and also is like not the best thing I've ever seen. But I can tell why it is such a classic and is like still talked about today. and remade over and over, or like we make sequels, etc.
Yes. So also, I was trying to look up what else was in theaters when Ghostbusters was. So it was competing against Indiana Jones and the Temple of Dune, which had already been out a few weeks, and also Gremlins. So those were both out at the same time.
Oh, crap. Should I admit this on our live recording?
You could. Have you not seen Gremlins?
Also not seen. Let me tell you that I've not seen that. And another movie, I think this is going to make people super angry. I've never seen Goonies.
Oh, okay.
I know. Are people screaming? I wish I could hear people screaming right now.
Also, this was number one at the box office for 7 consecutive weeks, and then Prince's film Purple Rain beat it out in early August. So, so that's the box office news that I was trying to remember a minute ago. So this is directed by Ivan Reitman, or maybe Evan Reitman. I'm not 100% sure. Okay, it is Ivan. He's done a lot of films. You may know him for Up in the Air with George Clooney and Anna Kendrick, which came out a few years ago. Also, 6 Days, 7 Nights. Ghostbusters, of course, Stripes, Twins, Legal Eagles, and No Strings Attached. And he has 2 movies in pre-production, Triplets. Wonder if that's a sequel to Twins. And also Summer of Love. So, yeah. And he was nominated for an Oscar when Up in the Air was nominated for Best Picture back in 2010. So, very well-known director, has been around for quite a while, still directing today. Mm-hmm. Did a great job with this movie as well. And we'll take a quick break here on the Silver Screen Podcast, then we'll come back, talk about the cast and our likes and dislikes for the movie Ghostbusters. And we're back here on the Silver Screen Podcast talking about Ghostbusters from 1984 as we continue our Halloween movie series here on the show. Going to dive into the cast now. First, we have Bill Murray in this one.
Yes, Bill Murray. You might have heard of him. He's been in a few things. He plays Dr. Peter Venkman in this movie. He is most known for his quirky behavior. Like, I feel like quirky is a word that is always associated with Bill Murray. He also is obsessed with the Chicago Cubs and Chicago Bears. He loves them. Yep. If you ever want to meet him, go to one of the games. He was nominated for Best Actor for the movie Lost in Translation in 2004. He's best known for that movie, Rushmore, Moonrise Kingdom, The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou, and his many, many seasons on SNL. You'll hear that a lot because basically this entire cast of this movie was on SNL at some point. Yep. And next up, he's going to be in The French Dispatch, which I know you and I are both excited for, and also Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Yes. So Bill Murray, a mainstay in Wes Anderson movies nowadays, just about in every single one. So,
which are quirky.
They are. Am I right? Just like him.
Yeah. Next up, we have Dan Aykroyd. I know my dad is a big Dan Aykroyd fan. Makes me like him even more. And I think he's a year older than my parents. He plays Dr. Oh, that's funny. He plays Raymond. And my dad's name is Ray. That's so funny.
Ah.
Dr. Raymond Stance. He is, of course, a very famous comedian. Canadian. So he's also a famous comedian. That was funny. Yes. It's a Freudian slip I just had. But he's a famous Canadian, so we can't claim him. But he was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for his role in Driving Miss Daisy in 1990. Excellent movie if you haven't seen it. He is best known for Ghostbusters, The Blues Brothers, Coneheads, and his many, many, many appearances on SNL. He's also a big writer, and he wrote Blues Brothers, so along with all the other movies I just mentioned, except Driving Miss Daisy. And next, he will be in Ghostbusters Ecto Force. So, Jared, I wanted to tell you, I thought this was weird. I saw that Bill Murray's going to be in Ghostbusters Afterlife, but it didn't say Ecto Force. And then Dan Aykroyd had said he was going to be in Ecto Force and not Afterlife. Are they one and the same? Are they two different things?
I think they're the same thing because it says Dan Aykroyd. I'm looking at the page for Ghostbusters Afterlife right now, and it says Dan Aykroyd will be in that movie.
So I wonder if it's an
that he plays in this movie. So
yes. Okay. Because I wonder if it's an IMDb slip up where it was called one thing, then they changed it or something.
And that was supposed to already be out, but has been delayed due to COVID and will be coming out March 5th of 2021. Also, I have one quick correction for our directing thing. We mentioned that Ivan Reitman directed Up in the Air. That was actually directed by Jason Reitman, who is his son. So he directed that in 2010.
They need to correct that.
I know. And then he is also directing the next Ghostbusters movie. So that's why I bring that up. So
Ivan Reitman, or his son?
His son, Jason, is doing the new one that's coming out next year. So
excellent. Thank you so much for the correction. Saves us some time next week.
Yes. Just looking that up.
And then here's one question. I'm sure people will scream through their speakers at this too. Do you say Harold Ramis or Ramis? I've heard both and I don't know what's right. And he has passed away.
I've said Ramis, but I don't know if that's correct or not. So
let's go with Ramis. I love it. Harold Ramis, he plays Dr. Egon Spengler. He attended and graduated from the famous Second City in Chicago, mm-hmm. one of my favorite places. Besides Ghostbusters, he was known for Groundhog Day, Knocked Up, and Stripes. He was also a prolific writer and director. He even directed Caddyshack, National Lampoon's Vacation, Groundhog Day, Analyze This, Analyze That, and multiple episodes of The Office, the U.S. version. And unfortunately, he did pass away in 2014. I remember that. People were mm-hmm. very upset.
Yep.
And he was only 69, I believe. And then this movie, I did not want to forget to mention some of the other stars because they're all fantastic. Ernie Hudson, Sigourney Weaver, Rick Moranis, and Annie Potts also star in this movie.
Really good cast in this movie. Mm-hmm. Great job casting this, honestly. So we'll move into our likes and dislikes now. And kind of starting off our likes is that statement with the cast. I mean, the actors and actresses in this movie are really good. They all went on to have great careers. They're known for this movie, but they're also known for other movies that they've been in as well, especially Bill Murray. Like, this is one of his probably standout performances that you would, when you look at his whole career, you would definitely say that Ghostbusters is one of those that is a big film in his filmography. So his performance definitely shines in this, but everybody is really great in this movie and they all kind of know their roles and they all add to the comedy of it. And they really play off of one another great too, especially Murray, Aykroyd, and Ramis, kind of as the three doctors that are together for a lot of the movie. They have really great chemistry and really seem like very natural with each other.
I couldn't agree more. I think that they are superb acting together and they made the movie. I would have watched all of these actors in a room just talking to each other and performing. I didn't even need the plot. I mean, it was all very cute and I liked it. But they are so good together. And I think it helps that they were all masters of improv, or are, those who are still alive. And also that they kind of grew up in the business together, at least, or Second City or SNL. And it was cool when I was looking at all the things that they did after this, a lot of these actors, they all did other projects together, or they wrote a movie for the other to star in, or they went back to SNL and would do SNL episodes together. And then the one person I wanted to point out, Ernie Hudson, in this movie, he looked so familiar. I thought, I know him. What do I know him from? I could even like repeat. Have you ever seen a person's face and you can hear the line they say in another movie, but you can't think of the movie? So that's what kept happening to me. But Ernie Hudson, I looked it up. He was in Miss Congeniality. He's the FBI director. But I was like, why? How do I know him? So I was glad I solved that. So if anybody else is listening, I solved the mystery for you.
Very nice. So, and he will be in the new Ghostbusters movie as well. He is
excellent,
reprising his role in Ghostbusters Afterlife, as is Sigourney Weaver and Annie Potts as well. So they basically are bringing everybody back except Ramis, who, as we said, has passed away. So, and then adding in Paul Rudd, Carrie Coon, Finn Wolfhard, and McKenna Grace. So that's a big cast for that movie coming out next year. So some other stuff that we like about the original Ghostbusters. I like how it's set in the real world. I think that's one thing that we talked about with the Halloween episode last week, is that it didn't seem very believable. This is still kind of an outrageous premise, but it does seem more believable because it's set in the real world. Like, they set up their headquarters in an old firehouse, and like the EPA comes after them at one point, and they all have to make the decision to quit their jobs as professors at this university to go and start this business. And they make that like really cheesy TV commercial that they run on TV that everybody sees to call them if they have a ghost or something. So I like that because it just kind of makes it more realistic, makes it more believable. And obviously it's still a crazy wild concept that wouldn't take place in the real world, but it kind of adds a little bit, it grounds it a little bit more and makes it just a little bit more realistic.
Definitely. I especially love that it's in New York City because mm-hmm. the scene that stands out to me vividly is when Rick Moranis is being chased by one of the monsters.
Yeah.
And he's stuck outside a restaurant and all these people are eating. And he is screaming bloody murder. And he, I mean, he looks disheveled at best. And people look at him and it's like you can hear them thinking, oh, it's just New York City, or my God, I love New York,
yeah,
or
yep.
Oh, these crazy people. Like everyone, no one reacts to what is happening outside, that this man could be in mortal peril. And I thought that is so New York City and I love it. But I agree with you. I think that that made it more believable, because at times a lot of this movie I was like, this is not a thing that would happen.
Yep.
But then watching it, you're right, watching it in a city that we all know and that is so famous and stuff, a lot of this makes sense, and it just, I like the movie more because of it.
Also, another like is that it's very lighthearted. It's very fun. It's considered a Halloween movie, but it's really not that scary. It is at certain points, but it's more like funny scary than like actually edge of your seat scary. Like it's more just like outrageous and outlandish than anything. So it's a movie that gets brought up around this time of year, but it really is a very like lighthearted movie that you can watch around Halloween, especially with like your whole family. And the song is obviously iconic too, the Ghostbusters song, because that still gets played today.
Do you need me to do it?
No, you can if you want. I mean,
you said no. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Anyway, who can you call?
Ghostbusters.
That's your cue.
Ghostbusters.
Perfect.
Can you imagine if they had recorded that and then Ray Parker Jr. was like, who do you call? Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Just like not enthusiastic at all.
That would ruin the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yes. I think you're right that it's not a scary movie. To me, the scariest idea is getting possessed by something. I equate possession with The Exorcist, which I saw this last year. But this movie, it's like, even when Sigourney Weaver is possessed, it's, you know, it's a minor issue. And then even the fact too, that these blobs or whatever, the monsters, they cover you in slime. Like it's a cute, it's a movie that I could see young kids being scared about, but I would say from like 10 and on, it's fair game and just really lighthearted and sweet.
The scariest part of this movie for me is that three men who were well-respected professors at a prestigious university and were probably paid very well quit their jobs to go ghost hunting. So that's from a just real world standpoint, I'm like, you better have some savings built up because this is a
risk.
Well,
we know how they got it. Dan Aykroyd sold that house. Remortgaged the house, I think.
Remortgaged the house. Interest rates are so great.
They're
so
great.
You'll pay it off.
That was such a good, that could have been a throwaway line. And they said it perfectly because he said, everyone has three mortgages these days.
Yeah.
I was like, what did you just do to start this business? Oh, man.
And the other guy is like, you're going to pay $95,000 just on your interest alone. And then it's like three friends.
You can get in 2020 two college educations.
Yeah.
No, maybe one. No, I'm being too generous. You could get half a college education with that money.
Yeah. And that really just kind of portrays every friend group. Every friend group has the one friend, which is Bill Murray, that's like, hey, man, go ahead and do this. Like, you know, it won't be an issue. We'll figure it out, whatever. Every group has the one guy that's like kind of nervous and like, we should probably play it safe. And then every group has the smarty pants that's like, this is actually what we should do, and this is blah blah blah. So, and all three of them are portrayed in this movie. So another like is that it's not too long. It's an hour and 45 minutes. It is a little longer than Halloween by about 15 minutes, and I would say near the end of it, you can kind of tell it's getting a little long, but it's still not
that
over
too.
2 hours or anything. So, which is nice.
Like I could get through it. It's something where towards the end, I was kind of thinking, are we going to wrap this up or, you know?
Yeah. And it kind of has like a false ending because it looks like it's about to wrap up. And then the Marshmallow Man comes and like invades the city. And that's like the last 10, 15 minutes of it. So that's kind of like, it kind of has that false ending feel where you're like, oh, it's almost done. And then he pops up. And is in it for a few minutes.
That was a dislike.
Stay puff.
Yeah, sorry. That was a dislike for me because I didn't like that there was a false ending because I felt like I was tricked. Yeah.
Yes. They got you. Also, another like for this movie, the comedy is really good. We've already mentioned that a lot, but all three of the main actors are great comedic actors.
Yes.
And some of them even having written and directed some other things as well. So they are very skilled in the comedy world and they did a great job with this particular movie. Again, like we said, playing off of each other seemed very natural and it was very funny. And like you said, you know, some of the throwaway lines are done very well too. They would, it could have just been throwaway lines, but they might have been ad-libbed or just kind of added in there just because these three are very skilled at doing comedy, but also doing live comedy as well, with a number of them being on SNL. That's an environment where you have to kind of think on the fly sometimes, but they all do a really good mm-hmm. job in this movie.
Yeah, I think so too. If anybody is looking, to me, I think the highlight of this movie was like, this is exactly the kind of movie I want to watch right now. I don't want to watch slasher. I don't want to watch depressing things. And I don't want to watch things that are just pure trash. I mean, I do, but I get enough of that from TV. But this is such a lighthearted, fun movie. And if you're anyone who is interested in improv or comedy at all, this is such a great movie to watch, just to see how all the actors play off each other. And they're subtle comedy. Bill Murray, especially, there were so many faces that he made, just subtle looks at Sigourney Weaver, or when he was talking mm-hmm. to the two people, he was like, I don't know if I want to say interviewing at the beginning of the film, the faces, the subtleties between when he looks at the guy versus when he looks at the woman and was kind of flirting with her. Amazing. So this is a great, great comedic movie.
And a little tidbit I just read about the writing is that Aykroyd, Ramis, and Reitman all wrote this. And Aykroyd kind of considered himself to be the kitchen sink writer who created like the funny situations and the paranormal like jargon. And then Ramis did the jokes and kind of the dialogue, and then they wrote separately and rewrote each other's stuff. And then when Murray came in, because he was doing another movie before he filmed this, he offered very little input on the script or his character, because Harold Ramis said, you know, I've worked with Bill Murray a lot, I've written for him a lot, and I know how to kind of handle him. So it was the same, like Murray just kind of read the script and was like, yeah, let's, you know, this fits me perfectly. Like, I don't really have any changes. Mm-hmm. So, and then they also decided early on that Ramis's character would be the brains of the Ghostbusters, Aykroyd's was the heart, and Murray's was the mouth.
That's exactly how it should be. I can't imagine any of them in any of the other roles.
Yeah, they work so perfectly together. So with that, do you have any other likes before we move on to our dislikes?
No, thank you. Okay. I'm great.
Cool. Let's move on to dislikes real quick. I brought up the special effects because I said they were good for 1984, and they probably were for that time period, but they are a little outrageous by 2020 standards. But I think that kind of adds to the cheesiness and the corniness of a little bit, but it does kind of take some of that believability factor away from it when you see the very cheesy special effects.
Yes. So I only have two dislikes, but I don't have a single outright dislike about this film. Both of the things that kind of bothered me about it were also things I understood or liked about it. So special effects to me were hilarious because I just thought this looks so bad. But then I also wanted to keep in mind and point out to people, this was my first time seeing it, which definitely colored my view. And also it's 2020. So think of the special effects and filmography, like everything that we've been introduced to at this point. So it would be hard to go from like watching all the technical genius and stuff we can do now and then going back to a movie that was made in 83 and came out in 84. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was, so the special effects are fine, but I found them to be cheesy and corny. And that kind of leads into my second one, because the other thing to me that bothered me was just the concept itself is a bit ridiculous, only because it depends if you believe in ghosts or not. But regardless of if you believe in ghosts or not, I don't envision ghosts to be like giant green slime blobs that look like cartoons or marshmallow men. So the concept was like, it was a little cheesy to me. And then the words I would use to describe this movie would be cheesy, corny, ridiculous, funny. Yeah. But at the same time, a lot of those words have negative connotations, and I don't mean it in a negative way. I just think if you're looking for like technical genius, this isn't your film. But if you're looking for like comedy and lighthearted family fun, this is a great film.
Yes, I would completely agree. So I think you're exactly right, as this film is goofy and funny and outrageous, but that's kind of what a lot of these actors that are in this movie are used to, and kind of the other roles that they do kind of are very similar to what they play in this type of movie. So I think it's a fun time, though, and definitely check it out if you haven't seen it before. Also, we normally mention if a movie's been nominated for Oscars, and we forgot to mention that this did get nominated for two Oscars, actually, for Best Visual Effects, which is one thing that you didn't love in the movie, and it lost to Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Well, so that makes sense.
And it also was nominated for Best Original Song for Ghostbusters by Ray Parker Jr. Oh. It did not win. It did not win, though. Can you try? Do you know what it may have lost to? I will say the song is from the movie The Woman in Red, if you've seen that or if you know anything about that.
I have not seen the one. Is it Lady in Red?
It is not. The song it lost to was Stevie Wonder's I Just Called to Say I Love You.
Oh, that's a great song. I love Stevie Wonder. Man, he's good. Remember that one time he came to Dayton and I got to see him in concert for free?
Yeah, that was cool. So,
sorry,
very cool.
Humble brag.
I've always wanted to see him in concert because he just comes out with bangers. I mean, that's what the kids say. Stevie Wonder has like 17 bangers.
Yeah, he's amazing. Love him.
Yes. So if you're going to lose to a song, you know, if you're going to lose to another artist, Stevie Wonder is
big.
an okay artist to lose to. Yeah,
for sure.
So that about wraps up our thoughts on Ghostbusters. So we will share our grades now for the movie. Who went first on the last episode? I don't remember.
I think it was you. Okay, I'm pretty sure it's my turn.
Go ahead and go first this time.
Okay. So I looked up previous scores because I was really on the fence about this movie. I actually put it in a tie with Animal House, and I wanted to mention that because I associate a lot of these movies with each other around that time period, like mid-80s, late-80s, Belushi, Aykroyd, Murray, anyone that was on SNL, that whole cast. I would still say out of those movies of that genre and time, my favorite would be Animal House. I think Animal House is ridiculous, and I know too many men that are like the people in that frat, so I can't get past it. It's so good. But I gave it the exact same score, an 85.
Very nice. I'm going to give Ghostbusters an 80 for this one, which is the same thing I gave Animal House as well. So keeping in line with that,
I think
it's good. I would not mind to rewatch this at all, unlike Halloween, where I don't think I would rewatch that very often. This is my second or third time seeing this movie, and I still enjoyed it on the third watch through or whatever. So it's a good movie. It's funny. It's got its highlights, and I think it's definitely a fun movie for this time of year and kind of a unique movie as well. Just from it's rare to see big budget comedy movies get made nowadays. Normally, comedies that come out are don't have a ton of special effects, or they'll have one big name actor, but they don't have six big name actors. So to see this is kind of cool.
This is a movie I'm really excited when I have kids, hopefully. This is a movie I look forward to actually sharing and having as a family movie watch party.
Well, and
so I thought this was great. I'm glad I saw it.
Yeah, and the fact that they're coming out with a sequel next year, I mean, it's still relevant in today's pop culture, zeitgeist and things like that. So it's still talked about today, and people dress up as the Ghostbusters for Halloween still, and all that stuff. So we both liked Ghostbusters. So if you haven't seen it, definitely go and check it out. Good movie to watch in the month of October as we gear up for Halloween. And next on the Silver Screen Podcast, we're going to do another Halloween-related movie, and that is Clue, based on the board game from 1985. I have not seen this movie. This movie was unique because when it was released in theaters, it had three different endings. And depending on which theater you went to, you got one of those three endings. So it was unique in that aspect. But I have not seen Clue. Have you seen Clue?
I have seen Clue multiple times. I really like it. And I would just like to tell you that Clue was my absolute favorite board game as a kid. I could play Clue by myself, if that was possible.
I don't think it is, because you would know what cards were in the envelope at the end.
But at least, you know what this does tell me is I've always been consistent with my love of mysteries, crime, thrillers, murder mysteries. I've been into it since the beginning.
Well, and when Knives Out came out last year, it was getting a lot of comparisons to Clue. And I loved Knives Out from last year. So I think I will enjoy this movie as well.
Yeah.
Stars Tim Curry, Christopher Lloyd, lots of great people.
Yes. The word I hear associated with Clue all the time is camp. It is it is campy, good, clean, hilarious, fun. It's also a great master of comedy kind of movie as well.
Well, great. So that'll be the next episode of the Silver Screen Podcast, talking about Clue from 1985. Thanks to the recommendation for us to review that. Sometimes we ask for recommendations on our social media pages, and we encourage you to chime in if you have a movie that you might want to hear us review. Again, right now during coronavirus, nothing new is really coming out, so we're doing a lot of flashbacks and older movies and Netflix movies and things like that. So if you have something you want to hear, definitely hit us up on social media. We're on podcast. We're at Podcast Silver on Twitter and Instagram, and then just search the Silver Screen Podcast Podcast on Facebook, and you can find us there. The links will also be in the description for this episode, so you can just click right there and it'll take you to the pages. And then also, wherever you're listening to this episode, if you don't mind to rate and review the podcast, that definitely helps us out too. We appreciate those. And if you leave us a review, we'll read your review on the show. Again, as we've said before, if it's a nice review, if it's a nasty review, yeah, maybe we won't. So,
right.
But all reviews welcome. So definitely rate the show and leave a review wherever you're listening. That definitely helps us out. And our next episode of the Silver Screen Podcast will be Clue from 1985.
Until next time, we'd like to thank the Academy.